communicate it to you in a way that he speak to your heart as much as he has spoken to my heart about it. Yesterday at our senior luncheon. Sorry, ladies, I didn't mean to call it a senior luncheon. Ooh, I know, I hear you. Our ladies' appreciation luncheon, and I know not all of you are seniors. None of you look like you're seniors. Does that make up for it? So, at our ladies' appreciation luncheon, we had a topic. The theme was the sweeter side of life, and they decorated with candy. And ladies that heard the lesson yesterday, bear with me for a few minutes as I explain it. I don't know if you guys really enjoyed it yesterday. I really enjoyed teaching it, and something that the Lord laid upon my heart. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to bounce off of that a little bit and talk about getting to where God is. Yesterday we talked about there's a sweeter side of life. There is a life that Christ offers, and that life that God is willing for us to live that is much sweeter than what the world has to offer. The Bible says in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The world offers you labor and heavy laden. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Now, this next phrase, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, the world will tell you that living the Christian life is too difficult. The world will tell you that living the Christian life is too hard. It's just not worth it. But Jesus says in his word that his burden is light, his yoke is easy. And it's pretty much giving everything over to God and saying, "God, I want to live that sweeter side of life. I want to live the Christian life, Lord, the life that gives me the opportunity to do the things that your word tells me to do." And Proverbs 13:15, the Bible says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard." And I tried to explain to the ladies yesterday that we can choose what we want to do with our lives. We can live a life for God and according to his word, that burden is easy, that burden is light, that yoke is easy. Or we can try to do things the world's way and the way of the transgressor. And according to what the Bible says, that is the hard way of living. And we began looking at different things about the Bible says and began looking at different topics. We talked about such things as you can choose to have peace or you can choose to worry. Living on the sweeter side of life means that, hey, I'm going to have peace with God that he offers. But if you want to have the harder way of life, you're going to worry about things. And we began looking at more things. We talked about having a clear conscience versus guilt. If you want to live on a sweeter side of life, there's really not many things more sweeter than being able to lay your head to the pillow at night and have a clear conscience that you did exactly what God wanted you to do and that you don't have sin in your heart, you don't have sin in your life, you're not worried because you're not doing what God's chastising you or God's working you over because you should be doing something. Boy, it is so sweet to have a clear conscience. We use the illustration of Paul, how in 2 Corinthians that church was, they were beating him up one way or another. They were questioning his integrity, they were questioning his preaching, they were questioning the way he looked, his attitudes. They were ripping him up one side and another. And Paul turns around and says, look, in godly sincerity. He says, look, I have a clear conscience. He says, a godly sincerity. He had a conscience void of, he says, his conscience is clear. Now, I tell you, that's the sweet side of life. But living a life full of guilt, not doing God's will, you're supposed to be doing, I don't know about you, but that eats me up. That's the hard side when I know maybe there's something I don't want to deal with and there's sin in my life and I just say, God, and not doing, God wants me to maybe talk to someone or God wants me to witness to someone or God wants me to preach on a certain topic, you know, guilty about not doing God's will. Man, that is miserable. That's definitely not the sweeter side of life. And we looked at some other ones. We looked at forgiveness versus bitterness. I gave the illustration to ladies yesterday. You know, if someone really has harmed you and they come to you and ask you in sincerity, please forgive them for what they've done. And if you're able to say with an open and honest heart, I forgive you, I'll never bring it up again. That is the sweeter side of life. If you can look at what Christ and how he's forgiven you and you can bring that around and then show that kindness and that sweetness to somebody else, not only will they be blessed, but I tell you, that is something that is truly some way of be able to just be able to, it's a blessing to you too. It's happened a few times in my life and I said, look, I've forgiven you a long time ago for it. Or what's the harder side of life? Bitterness. Man, being bitter about something. And the Lord helps, you know, some of these things really hit home. The Lord helps me with not being bitter very often about things. But I've seen what bitterness does to some people. It definitely is not the sweet side of life. It definitely is not God's plan, you know, to be bitter and angry about things. Yet the Bible says how that root of bitterness springs up and it defiles many. It destroys people. And we looked at different things, jealousy versus happiness for others. Saul was jealous because of the jealousy Saul had for David. It destroyed his life. At the end of his life, he was saying, boy, I played the fool. Or if we can learn to be happy for others that, you know, God's using somewhere else. I tell you, if Victory Baptist Church was having revival, or Emmanuel Baptist Church was having a revival and seeing people saved and, you know, seeing exciting things happen and maybe not as much was happening here at our church, would we be jealous of them? No, we'd be excited for them. We'd be saying, hey, what you doing? We want to get in. We want to be involved in that. We want a part of that. We'd be happy for them because they're doing God's work. So many times that's the sweet side of life, being able to be happy for someone else's blessings. But the hard side of life, the way of the transgressor, is to be jealous. We talked about busyness versus alone time with God. We talked about Mary and Martha, that you know, the sweet side of life. And this is what I'm going to talk a little bit about tonight, is it getting where God is, being alone with God, communing with God, drawing nigh to God. And God says he'll draw nigh to you to be in the spot where God is at. And I tell you, there is not anything more sweeter than that versus being busy. It is hard to live a Christian life where you just stay so busy, but you never fellowship with God. You feel like you're banging your head against the wall because nothing's ever being blessed. Nothing's ever being used by God. Your Christian life becomes just another activity after activity after activity. It becomes mundane. It becomes something that you're just busy, busy, busy. But there's no benefit to it because you've never taken the time to be with the Lord. See, the sweeter side of life is being with the Lord and spending time with the Lord and then that reflecting in your service for Him. But if a person is over here and just being busy, 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 doing things for the Lord, doing things for show, that's miserable. It's the way of the transgressor is hard. That is hard for a believer to sit there and just be involved, 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 and never taking the time to be alone with God. We're not going to go through all of them just because of the fact that I don't need to re-preach the message from yesterday, but we talked about trust versus revenge. It is sweet to be able to give your problem over to God and say, God, you take care of it. We looked at that last week on Wednesday night about how Jesus, when he was reviled not again, he committed everything over to the Father, him that judges righteously. Because when we try to become the judge, when we try to react to revenge, our lives become consumed with getting even. That's the hard side of life. But the sweeter side of life is when we have a problem that we can't handle. And let me be honest with you, we can't handle our problems. We need God's help. We just give it over to the Lord. That's the sweeter side of life. Being thankful versus being unthankful. Encouraging words versus gossip. You know, if we can encourage somebody with their mouth, boy, we're on the sweeter side of life. But if we gossip, boy, sooner or later you're going to turn around back to bite you, in a sense. So then I began to think about this in a little bit, and how do we get to the sweeter side of life? You know, it's easy to talk about these things, but you know, most of us live with the guilt of sin in our lives. Most of us live with some bitterness, some worry. Some people deal with the revenge. A lot of people deal with their struggling of their alone time with God. Some struggle with gossip or envy or jealousy or being unthankful. How do we get to where we live on the sweeter side of life? And that's the idea of the message tonight, is we need to get to where God is. We need to be where God is and communing with God, in the presence of God, being close to God, and things like that. Because of that, we're going to bring across a little bit of an illustration tonight, and it's a Old Testament illustration, and also there's going to be some New Testament illustrations, but hopefully in the end, we can all pull it together, and we can all leave this place saying, I want to be where God is, because that's the place I need. I need to be like Mary did. I need to be at His feet. I don't have any other choice. I have no other hope but to get to God. In the New Testament, I love some of the characters in the New Testament, and I really love those that had to work hard to get to Jesus, but they would not let anything stop them. I love blind Bartimaeus in the story, and when he's yelling out, he's sitting on the side of the road, everybody's telling him to shut up, nobody wants to hear from you, Bartimaeus, Jesus doesn't care about you. And he cried the louder, he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he kept on repeating it, repeating it. You know why he kept on repeating it? He knew he had to get to Jesus. He knew none of those people that were there were going to help him. He knew he did not let his physical disability stop him. He did not listen to anybody else. He knew he had to get to God. And if we're going to live in a sweeter side of life, we have to get to where God is. You think about the woman with the issue of blood. And she was probably weak because of this 12 years of infirmity. And there was a crowd, a throng of people around Jesus. I mean, people were shoulder to shoulder. And put your imagination into it. I pictured this frail woman who's been sick for these 12 years. And she's trying to fight her way through the crowd just to be able to touch the hem of his garment. You know what? She was not going to let anything stop her from getting to Jesus. I think about those four men that loved his friend, and Jesus was in that house and it was completely crowded with people, and Jesus was teaching, and then they start hearing things on the roof because they're pulling the tiles off the roof. You know what? They had to get their friend to Jesus. You know, we got to get to the spot where we realize and understand we need to get to Jesus also. And that's where we come to this in the book of Exodus. We're going to talk a little bit about the tabernacle. Now, I want you to understand, I understand what the tabernacle is. I understand that the tabernacle is a series of messages that could take a few months to preach at. There's typology there. There's symbolism all throughout it. And we're not going to take hours to try to get it. What we're going to try to do is pull out an illustration tonight to help us understand the purpose of it. I understand Christ's sacrifice. Christ paid the sacrifice. I know the veil is torn in two, that we do not have to go through the tabernacle to get to Jesus anymore. But tonight, I want you to understand a little bit about what it took to get to the Holy of Holies. Because you know what's in the Holy of Holies is? It's God. And that's where we need to be. We need to be where God is. And that's what we're going to look a little bit as an illustration about the tabernacle and try to pull together that God wants to dwell with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. But how come it seems like in the story of Joseph got that God was with him and he lived with him and he his life determined in this idea that I'm living in the presence of God and I'm communing with God and I can respond to whatever situation and I can choose to trust versus revenge. I can choose to have peace over worry. I can choose to have a clear conscience over guilt, forgiveness over bitterness, happiness over jealousy. I can choose these things. Where does it come from? It comes from people who have spent time with God. What did they say about the disciples? They had taken notice that they had been with Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I've seen people like that. I've met people like that. I've heard preachers like that. You know, sometimes I sit in maybe a meeting or whether it be here or other revival services or even at different conferences and things like that. And you see a preacher and you see that and you know that he's been with God because the way he preaches and the power of God that's on his life. And you know, I've seen that before. And I say that's somebody who's been with the Lord. And you see the testimony of some people and you see the life that they live. And you can tell just because they're living on the sweeter side of life, and he's like, that's someone I want to be like. You know what? The difference is they've been with the Lord. They spent time with the Lord. They've communed with God. They're not sitting on the outer court. They're not sitting in the holy place. They're going into the Holy of Holies and they're spending time and communing with God. And this is what we need to say. I need to get to God and I need to spend time with him. And I'm not saying that even myself that I'm there tonight, but I'm saying that's where we need to get to. Because I've been there a few times where, you know, I know God's working and I can feel God's presence and I can see God working and communing with God and watching God work and move. It is precious and it is special to have God's presence and power in your life. And I know, I think some people get so scared of the Holy Spirit because of other movements out there, but we got to realize this is a emotional relationship we have with God. that this is a relationship we have with Him, and our emotions are attached to it. And it scares me to death that we don't see tears very often anymore. It scares me to death that people don't respond, and you don't see people trying to live on a sweeter side of life. Instead, they're willing to accept their sin and just keep on going on. We need to get to the point where we say, I have to be with God. We need to be like Bartimaeus that says, no matter what anybody else says or what my obstacles are, I'm going to get to Jesus. We need to be like that woman with the issue of blood and doesn't let anything stop him. Or the guy who carried, the four guys who carried that, or who Mary, who, despite the fact everybody else around him was busy, that she was sitting there and she was communing with him. She knew that that was the more important thing, and that was more special than anything else that was going on. And tonight, let's try to hopefully bring this together with our illustration of the tabernacle here in Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. And I know the deeper passages, and I know usually I spend a little bit more time on certain verses, and we go a little bit deeper than we do in this the primary scriptures, but we're just going to hit on them tonight for a second. Exodus chapter 25, verse number 8, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." You know, we have a God that wants to dwell with us. I don't know about you, but that is something special. You know, sometimes we have friends that don't want to spend time with us. Sometimes we have people that shun us. Sometimes we have people that don't have time with us. God is saying, let us make a place so I can dwell with you. God wants to dwell with you. He wants you to come there. He it's not just some type of elusive spot where you can't get to God. The veil's been torn in two. We are a royal priesthood. We can go to God on our own now. And God says, look, He's telling the nation of Israel, let's build a place because I want to dwell with you. Verse number 9, "According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." So I see here verse number 9 that He has a specific way of doing things. And once again, you could spend a long time on this tabernacle looking, talking about the showbread and talking about the altar, talking about the mercy seat, talking about the things that are found in the Ark of the Covenant, talking about all the women's court and the men's court and the court where the Gentiles are only allowed into. And you could talk about all the different things that are typologies and illustrations and examples. But we're not going to do that tonight. We're just going to try to basically break it down into three categories. In my mind, the tabernacle is broken down into three main categories. I know when I use the outer court for you guys that are really, really smart, I know you know that there's a spot for the men, there's a spot for the women, and that the Gentiles, Mr. Mark's a Gentile, they're out on the outside. They're not allowed in. But out here, inside this area, I think for me, this is the place where we meet Christ. Christ, or we meet God. And at this place is where they did the sacrificing. This is where the doves would be killed and the animals would be killed. And then there's another section, which is the holy place. Only the priest can come in there. Only the priest can come in there. And what the priest did in there, many times there was different things that they would do. There's different representations, the showbread, the light, the oil, the things that represent Christ. And here, there was a spot where they get cleaned up. Because out here, there's a lot of blood, there's a lot of feathers, there's a lot of... But here is a spot where the priest could go in, and then they could prepare things. And once a year, the high priest got the privilege to come into the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies, you know what's there? God's there. This is where we want to be. When we see people that are living on the sweeter side of life, they've been here. They've spent time with God. Because they can't choose to do all those things unless they spend some time with God. Because their flesh is going to cry out to do the other things. But when's the last time you've been there? When's the last time you spent time with God, in God's presence, and commune with God? Because we all start out here in the outer court. We all start out here in this outer court. It's a place of suffering. Those animals suffered. It's a place of sacrifice. Those animals were brought as a sacrifice. Out here in the outer court, and I think it represents in this outer court, as a place of sacrifice and a place of suffering, because to be able to get to the Holy of Holies, you know what's going to happen? We're going to have to suffer some. Now, don't get me wrong. I know Jesus Christ suffered for us. He paid the price for us. Because of that, we have communion with God. We can get to God on our own. I know that. illustration-wise, if we want to be right with God and we want to get to the place where we commune with God, we're going to suffer in this world. We're going to suffer persecution. If we really want to get to that spot where we see the people who are used by God, where we see the people who are being blessed by God, if we want to get to the spot where we draw nigh to Him and we commune with Him and we see the people like Mary's and we see the people like Ruth's in the Bible and we see the people in the Bible that like are Paul's and people who commune, it seems like they live in this life that is so far above where we would ever hope to be. You know what the difference is? They spend time with God. They get into the Holy of Holies. They are able to get there, but it begins with this. It's suffering. I know we say, boy, if I could just understand the writings of Paul, if I could just have the passions of Peter, if I could just... And we say, whatever you need to do, Lord, to me, to make this to happen. And then we face a little bit of suffering. You know what happens? We give up, we quit, and we start feeling sorry for ourselves sometimes. You know what? We're not going to make it to the Holy of Holies without not suffering in this world a little bit. Because when we suffer in this world, God is molding us and God is making us. God is causing us to become into the image of His Son so we can get to the Holy of Holies and commune with Him and be with Him and be able to choose a sweeter side of life because we spent time with God. Not only is it a place of suffering, it's a place of sacrifice. The book of Malachi is one of my favorite books of the Bible, and someday we're going to go through it, book of Malachi. And I'm a little bit of a sarcastic person. I had to fight against it. You can ask my wife, when we first got married, I had a mouth, and sometimes it comes out a little bit, and some of you probably have seen that before. And I do my best. She said, not you, Pastor, you're always so sweet and so kind. Now, I am fighting that temptation. Lots of times when somebody says something stupid, boy, I want to jump on it just like that. I want to say something. And you know what? It's a place of sacrifice. In the book of Malachi, Malachi has a little sarcasm in me, what I think is in there. That's one of the reasons why I like the book. It talks about sacrifice. If we want to get to the Holy of Holies, we're going to have to sacrifice our best. And in that book of Malachi, to bring the illustration, they talked about the blind animals, how the nation of Israel would keep their best and bring the blind animals for the sacrifice. And God would say, why don't you go give that to the governor to pay your taxes and see what he thinks? He says, I deserve your best. And if we ever want to get to the Holy of Holies, you know what's going to happen? We're going to have to be willing to sacrifice. And not just bring some lame animal. Not to bring some blind animal. We're going to have to be willing to sacrifice our best in order to get over there. Is getting over there worth it? Yes. I mean, once you get there, you don't ever want to leave, and hopefully you can live in that, and you can live in the presence of God and communing with God. I know you have to go out in the world, and you shine as light in the world, and you're like Moses, you see the glory of God on certain people, you hear them preach, you hear them sing, they might not be the most talented, they might not be the most eloquent, they might not be, you get some people up here, and I'm not talking about anybody here at church, don't try to even start thinking, oh, that's how that person, you get up somebody up here that sings, and they sound great, they sound professional, and they entertain you, but you need to get somebody up here that's been with God, who might not be able to sing as well as someone else, and you hear the message and God speaks to your heart because they've been with God. There's a difference between performing and ministering, and there's a difference. And you hear preachers sometimes that are the greatest orators, and they can say the words exactly the right way, and they can speak and never struggle, and they sound like they're acting. But then you get up somebody that can't even read the words right, and somebody who struggles to do this and that, but God's on them, and you hear them preach. There's a complete difference, because one spent time with God and the other one is staying in this outer court. If we want to get to the Holy of Holies and we want to be that person that spent time with God, and we want to be that person that communes with God, and that God is all over us and God is everything to us, it's going to be a place of sacrifice and a place of suffering, just like it was. And then as you're willing to suffer for it, as you see the price that needs to be paid, and you sacrifice for it, and you enter into the holy place. Remember, it's in three different sections. Or something that was really important that happened in the holy place. There's a lot of things. You can represent the showbread. You can represent a lot of different things there. But one of the things that they did is they got cleaned up. Because they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies dirty. That could even be in the holy place, which is dirty. And I think out there is a place where you can represent where we meet with God. And if we're willing to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we can enter into the holy place. And you say, what's the holy place? The holy place, I think, represents our church or the church. What do you mean by the church? Well, remember, who can come into the holy place? Only priests. But the Bible says now that when Christ has died and the veil has been ripped in two, in 1 Peter, we learn, what are we? We are the royal priesthood. So we now have access to the holy place. What happens in the holy place is that we get cleaned up. What happens in church? It's the place where we help get cleaned up a little bit, I think. And when you come here, you realize that I can't get here by being dirty. I can't get here into the Holy of Holies and commune with God and have sin in my heart and have sin in my life, because God even says in His Word that if I regard iniquity in my heart, He says He's not going to hear you. So how are you going to commune with someone who's not even listening to you because of sin? And this is the place where we get cleaned up. Now, I mentioned it this morning, and sometimes you get excited about preaching certain messages. You mention something from the morning times of that, but it's... what sin is worth not getting to the holy place, the Holy of Holies? What sin is worth not being able to commune and fellowship with God? I'll be honest with you. There is no sin out there that is worth not getting there for. But, you know, we allow sin in our lives. Like Joseph today, when he was dealing with Potiphar's wife, he said, I can't sin against God. He was not going to allow the fact that he was single and he was a slave and he probably had sexual desires in his heart and his mind, and the devil was trying to tempt him with that. He says no. He said it firmly. He said it faithfully. He said it faith-based. It was a final. It was final. He was not going to. Why wouldn't he do that? It's because of the fact he had been in the Holy of Holies. He had spent time with God. I know what you're going to say. Well, the tabernacle wasn't even made before Joseph. I get that. But you get the point here. He had been with God, and he was not going to give up what God was to him for a few moments of pleasure. And what is it that's stopping us from getting to the Holy of Holies? If we get past the point of suffering and sacrifice and we come in here, what sin is stopping us from getting there? Because I tell you, there is no relationship, no wrong relationship that's worth missing the Holy of Holies. There is no bitterness that is in our heart that is worth saying, I'm not going to get to God because I got bitterness in my heart. There is nothing. There is not, whether it be lying, whether it be cheating, whether it be not tithing, whether it be not being faithful, whether it be how you dress, whether you, and when it comes to the spot and say, that is what's stopping me from getting to the Holy of Holies. That is what's stopping me from communing with the God of the universe and the God of this world. You know what? There is nothing. Nothing. That is worth that. No sin. What is stopping you from getting to the Holy of Holies tonight? Because when we think about it, that's the place where we need to be. This is the place where we can choose peace, because God can give us that peace because we spent time with Him. This is the place where we can choose to forgive, because we spent time with God and realized God's forgiven us. But what sin? You know, we can't make it in there. Remember the story that if the high priest went in there and he had sin in his life, what happened to him? He died. Gone. And because the Holy of Holies is open to all of us, because the throne of grace and the throne of God is open to all of us, when's the last time you've been there? Because I was thinking about it, and when I compare sin and the sins that we struggle with, there's nothing worth it to not get there. And it convicted my heart, because I want to live on the sweeter side of life. I know it was for the ladies, it was candy, it was decorated pretty, but I don't want the way of the transgressor's heart. And when I have guilt in my life, or when I'm living according to my own flesh, it's not a very good life. But when I can forgive, when I can be happy for others, and when I can get my time alone and spend it with God and be an encouragement and have peace, and trust in God, a clear conscience, that is the sweeter side of life. But how do I get there? It's by getting there. How do I get there? It's by being willing to sacrifice, by being willing to suffer, and by making sure we're clean. Last week we talked about maybe something similar to it. And we talk about trying to do things our own way, and we just can't figure out why God can't allow this or God can't allow that. And we looked at 2 Chronicles 7:14 about having to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Then you have that word, then. You know, we're not going to get there unless we go through this. We're not going to get to where God is unless we are willing to sacrifice, willing to suffer in this world, and willing to be clean. I don't know about you, but sometimes and we go to conferences, and some people say, well, why do you need to go to the conference? Don't you have enough work to do here? I sure do. I got plenty of work to do here, but sometimes when you get to conferences, you feel the presence of God and you hear from God. And as a preacher, you still need to get preached to and preached at. And it's really, really important. But when I see sometimes men and women when they sing, or women when they do other things, and men when they preach, and they got the Spirit of God on them and the power of God on them, and the glory of God is just resonating from their life, that's what I want. Where did they get it from? They got it from spending time over here. When's the last time we've been there? You know, so many times we get so busy, we get the Martha syndrome, and we don't even take time to read our Bibles. We're never going to get there that way. You know, we see men who've done that. We enjoyed our Kirby Campbell, the guy who is getting ready to be our Friend Day speaker this year. We were moved by his testimony. He spent some time with God at the Holy of Holies, I think. But he had to suffer to do that. He went through a lot. And sometimes people say, "Yeah, I want my children to be like their children." You know, sometimes the parent has to suffer by saying no. Sometimes the parents got to say, hey, they got to spend some time with God in the Holy of Holies, and they got to do the things that are right. And then you say, you know what? You're not going to wear that. You're not going to listen to that. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. A parent suffers sometimes for taking a stand for God and is misunderstood sometimes. But when God is on their children, it makes it worthwhile. And sometimes when we see people who are just filled with the Spirit of God and have God's presence in their life and in their heart, something we desire. But there is a great suffering that sometimes we're going to have to go through. There is a sacrifice that we're going to have to make. And I think one of the major things is we got to make sure we're clean, because we're never getting there. And I got to be honest with you, it's been a long time since a lot of us have been there without being right with it. Is there any sin worth not getting there to commune with the God of the universe? Because if you've been there, and I think if you've been saved, there had at least be a moment in time when you had that fellowship that was so sweet, and that you repented of your sins and God saved you. And once again, I'm not saying you had to get up and have tears and run up and down the aisles and things like that. I'm not saying you couldn't have done that, but there was a time when you communed, he spoke to your heart, and you understood that, and you received. You know, there was at least that time when you met with God. And hopefully there's been more times when you've met with God, when you've heard preaching, and when God's worked in your heart. And I've seen people meet with God, and I've seen God change lives, and I've seen God be all over people before. That's what I want. That's what I want for us. I want us, because why? Because you're going to get more service, because you're going to get more tithes, because you're going to get more this. No, it's because it's the sweeter side of life. It's the type of life that God desires for you. When's the last time you met with God? And I don't want to downplay reading our Bible, because that's huge. I don't want to downplay praying, because those are avenues to getting to God. But those are beginnings. If we're going to get to the Holy of Holies, it takes more than that. It takes a life that wants to draw near to God. And the awesome thing is, if we take that step towards God, God's going to take that step towards us. He wants to dwell with you. That's what he says in Exodus 25. He says, let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. He wants to dwell with us. So when you think about this tabernacle, You think about the sweeter side of life. You think about the different choices we have. I didn't want the ladies to misunderstand that you can choose this and you choose that. You can. But the only way you can make the right choices is by spending time here. Because without spending time with God, you're not going to make those choices. So it's important that we get to where God is. Where is God? He's there. Where are us? You know what? Most of us have lived our Christian life right here in the outer court. We've never even came close to getting back to there. What do we need to do to get there? Because it's desperately important. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. I need to get to where God is. I want to commune with Him. I want to spend time